Hello and welcome to our 64th episode of the Gutenberg Changelog podcast. In today's episode, we will talk about Gutenberg 12.9, WordPress 5.9.3, and the Gutenberg examples repository, the walkthrough WordPress 6.0, and so much more. I'm Birgit Pauli Haag, curator at the Gutenberg Times and WordPress developer advocate. I'm here with co-host Mary Job, also a WordPress advocate, support engineer at Paid Membership Pro, and organizer of the WP Africa community. Good evening, Mary. How are you today?
I'm doing very good, Birgit. Hi, everyone. Hope everyone is doing awesome today.
Yeah.
The world.
So the WP Africa community, tell me more about it.
Yes, that was born out of the need to be able to connect with more WordPressers on our continent and to also be able to get more people to be interested in contributing to the WordPress open source project. Because so there's a colleague of mine in, from Benin, but it's pronounced Benin over here. It's the country right next to us. And there was a survey they did one time to see where the contributors to the open source project were from. And when it came to our continent, the percentage was quite very, very, very low, you know. So we thought to ourselves, a good way to get started would be to get to know who and who are using WordPress, doing WordPress on our continent. If we're able to connect with more people outside our respective countries, then, you know, we can get going from there. And maybe in 2024, 2025, we're going to have a WordCamp Africa. I don't know. But yeah. we want to have one.
That's awesome. So how can people connect with WP Africa community?
If you go to the website, wpafrica.org, you can see the directory there. You can join the directory. You can also join the Slack channel. There's a Slack channel, Slack workspace for their community. You can also join that. The information is also on the website. Everything you need to know about the project is on wpafrica.org. Yes.
Wonderful, wonderful. And you can use your WordPress login information to actually register with the Slack, I found. So yes. That's very good. Yeah. Thank you. Yeah. So we have some announcements, and there's the all new Pattern Creator is live now. So on WordPress.org, and it was taken online or opened up for public submissions last week. And within a few days, 90 patterns by about 30 plus designers have been submitted since March 25th. And so, Mary, did you get a chance to browse the pattern directory? What did you see?
Well, yes, I got a chance to look at it. It is amazing. I mean, literally, if you wanted to build your site as a newbie or as a business owner, you can simply take the designs from here and then use them on your site and modify them to your own advantage. You don't have to start thinking, oh, how do I get creative with building blocks? You know, you can simply take the patterns and use them. And I particularly like that they have like buttons and the fact that you can submit your own patterns in the directory. I mean, that's perfect. You could create a block pattern and then submit it right there on the page. I think it also opens up a chance for people to contribute. You know, people would think that WordPress is maybe too technical for them. This is something good they could play with, and they could see maybe it would bring out the creative spirit in them, you know.
Yeah, and I tested that block pattern creator, and it's actually a block editor. Yeah, that is standalone. Yeah. And it's quite an interesting experience that, and then you submit it, and then there is no curation for that matter. There are certain things that you can see on the about page, like the do's and don'ts, and then it's going to be online and people can, there's a little heart. So what you say is a like button. They're their favorites. So if you have 90 patterns, or now 160 patterns with the ones that were already in there, or 170 actually, I feel a little bit decision paralysis, kind of. Yeah, where I say, I like them all. So, yeah, when I look for a price list or column blocks or something like that, I don't know. So you can browse them at your leisure, put some hearts or check the hearts on that, and then you have a separate page that says my favorites. And that's a really good way to curate the whole directory.
Yes. And I just actually thought of something. This is something that teenagers would also want to play with. I'm just thinking off the top of my head. I mean, this is a teen would want to play with something like this. You know, there's always been discussion in the community about how to get the next generation into WordPress, get them using WordPress, because they seem to like the newer social media channels. Because I know my daughter is always telling me, you're not on TikTok, you don't know what Snapchat is. I'm like, I don't know what those are. So I think this is also, this would also be a very good way to get them interested in WordPress, you know, and if they like what they see, which I'm sure a lot of them would.
Yeah.
That could also spur them to become WordPressers. I mean, that's good.
Yeah.
It's important to get a future generation interested. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And I like what you said as well, that it's another way for people that don't code to contribute. Yeah, it's the second place. The first one was actually the WordPress photos directory, where you can submit your photos that then could end up in one of the panels. Yeah, because they are the WordPress photos directory is also fed into the Openverse directory. And Openverse is actually driving the media library in the patterns submission or pattern creator. So when you say, okay, I need an image, you go to the Openverse and you can punch in a keyword like forest or mountains or blocks. And then you get a series of pictures that you can use on your block pattern. So you don't have to upload them. You don't have to manage them. And the people who use the pattern actually can also see the pictures without having to download them because they're available on the internet. And so it's really, really a great integration on multiple levels. The repository's code is actually available on GitHub. And you can see how you can learn or experiment with it, how the Openverse directory is added to the media library. Also how block custom post types are actually handled by the block pattern directory, because any block pattern is a custom post type. So if you want to learn that, you can kind of look at the code and figure out how they deal with the custom post types. It's actually a great tool on so many levels. So I wanted to take a shout out on that. Yeah. So, speaking of testing and new features, Anne McCarthy just posted a new call for testing through the FSE, the full set editing program. And it's all about authoring an author template. But she also writes that you create a template for your author pages. You learn how the locking UI for blocks works, and it allows a site builder to prevent an editor to remove or move locked blocks. You also get to test the new design options and the new no result block. If you have half an hour or so, spin up a new test site with local WP and follow Anne's meticulous instructions. You have until April 21st to leave your feedback on the experience. So I think I'm going to carve out a few minutes, a half an hour, and participate in that, because it's a great way to learn the new features and also contribute by thinking through, okay, what do I feel? What do I see? Is there something that crashes my computer, or these kind of questions? So it's ahead of WordPress 6.0 release. That's the best way to, or one of the few ways to walk through some of the new features that will come to a WordPress instance near you soon. You have until April 21st to leave your feedback on the experience for the call for testing on FSE. And if you're more interested in watching other people walking through the current stage of WordPress 6.0, then join a panel on April 5th at 11 Eastern, 1500 UTC. And you will hear from Janning Ritter, She's a designer on the WordPress project, Hector Prieto, and Matthias Ventura, both developers on the Gutenberg plugin. And the event will be moderated by Daisy Olson and then Serge Sochin on April 5th. Put it in your calendars. We have the link to the announcement post on Make Core in the show notes. That's also because the Zoom link where it's going to happen will be shared on the Make blog, but it's on Tuesday, April 5th. If you're listening to this episode after April 5th, I'm sure there will be a recording, and it will be also shared on the post where the recording will live. So going to the link will also benefit you who have not listened to this so in time to get to the live show. So that's for you too. Now we come to the section of what's released. And 5.9.3 security maintenance update is coming to you. The release candidate is out, and the scheduled release is on Tuesday, also April 5th. So, and there are quite a few. There are 9 bug fixes on core and 9 bugs from the block editor that come to your 5.9 instance. And of course, the security features that are coming as well. So, and now it's your turn.
Mary. Okay. So now we can talk about the features, the new features that are coming
into this release. The Gutenberg 12.9 release. Yes. Yes, we are. Gutenberg 12.9 is out.
Okay, awesome. So the block editor has introduced what they call the block locking UI, which allows the admin to have more control over the blocks. If you have built a site and you don't want the editor or the author to be able to move around the blocks or rearrange your design, you can now lock those blocks. The post date block also now allows the user to pick a site default. So the post date block also now allows the users to pick their date formats. This is great because you can now pick a date format for that post block that is independent of the site's defaults. And you can select this and create your own individual format string. For instance, I've noticed I think the US date format is like the day, the month, and the year, I think. Whenever I look at those dates, I know that I get confused because for us, it's the other way around.
Yeah, that's certainly one thing. And it's actually quite nifty because the person who creates the post can actually select the date. So it could even outside of the site default, or you have an individual format. So that's quite helpful. And yeah, I know what you're saying. I confuse everybody with dates, especially when I'm talking to Europe. So most of the time I start with a year, month, and day, and just to be sure, or I use the month and then the day and the year. So, but the month in like April 5th or not 4/5, because it could also be 5/4, especially say only in October, November, December, it's relatively clear. Yeah. After the 12th of the month, it's relatively clear what the format is. Yeah. All right, so, and there is a no results block container now available for the query block. It's the first iteration, and it kind of follows the idea that if there are no posts available for a certain criteria that the template has, that it should show some notification and that the site owner could modify that notification or that saying, yeah, there are no blocks with that kind of criteria. It's a first iteration, but try it out. It might help with the theme development quite a bit. And with 12.9, there are some great enhancements on the list view. So now you can actually multiple select on the list view is now available. And it supports the Shift+ for home and the end keys. So you can navigate through it by holding those keyboard using the keyboard shortcuts that you know also from page down, page up, from earlier days in a computer as well. And some of us actually have muscle memory for those. And now it's great that we can use it in the list view. But even more helpful is the collapsed list view by default of the editor. So if you have, 30 blocks in your post or page and you open the list view, it also goes, is now everything is collapsed. So if you have a group block, it only shows the group block, but when you click on it, to extend, you see what blocks are inside the group block, or same with the cover block. So you get a compressed version on the list view and you can easily and better navigate that. So all nodes are collapsed and the initial impact on heavy nested page or so is reduced, reducing the cognitive load, so to speak. And I also, there was a nice feature, and I don't know how critical that is, but when you have a color palette and as a user, you create a new color that you want to make available through all the color selectors throughout the site. So you can add a blue and you can change actually the label that is displayed in the list of that which color is selected. So that's quite nifty to actually put in, because then as a theme developer or a site owner, you can make clear it's not a blue, it's the brand blue, it's the saleable blue, or whatever your lingo is in your own company to identify the colors of your brand. So I think that's a nice quality of life kind of feature, and it helps reduce the worry of which color is it that we want to do. All right. Speaking of controls, there's also now to the number control in this release was added the minimal and maximum font size for the tag cloud block. So now you can say, so the smallest size is 6 and the largest size is 25 or something like that through all your tag cloud. And that is now pretty precise. Yeah, that wasn't available before, but people knew it from the classic editor or the classic widget section. When you selected a tag cloud, those choices were actually available. And it's glad that this is back and on feature parity with the previous versions. So then the gallery block got a little easier now because you can control the gutter or the space between the images. You can make them all together or have a nice little space in between, and from zero white space to a large art gallery kind of style gaps. And with that, you also can have different layouts for your gallery images. I'm thinking that would be actually quite a nice experiment for block patterns to figure out additional ways to style the gallery block and have different ideas on how to make it work. Mm-hmm. The separator block received a refactor on the color support. So now you can have different colors, but also with different hues. And for designers, that's very important to kind of make sure that the separator block is also within the design. And back to you, Mary.
Thank you for that, Birgit. So the post editor also got some enhancements. First is the show view preview link for draft saved snack bar notice. This aims to make previewing a drafted post more visible and more consistent so that the author who is drafting a post can easily preview their posts. So the link to preview their posts in the snack bar notice.
The snack bar notices are the black little notices that are on the bottom of the screen when you save things. So you would say, okay, post is saved, and then you had to go up and preview. So now you can do it from the bottom of the screen.
Yes. Do you know sometimes I have to click click update twice just because I want to quickly go down to click on the link. So this is a good one. Thank you to them for this. The site editor also, now you can add more template types to the site editor. Previously, when creating new templates in the site editor, we're limited to a small set of template types. Now you're able to create a template for many different types of pages as you would need on your website. Okay, so the theme exports. So now you can also export the old theme.
So what kind of pages? I can do category pages, and I can do author pages, taxonomy dates, tags, and attachment pages. Okay.
Yes, great. Still on the site editor, you can also now export the old theme. I believe they are seeking feedback for this to see if this is going to be an helpful tool or not. So it would be good if more people can test this out and comment and let them know if this is a tool that would be helpful for site builders or not. Okay.
Yeah.
So you can also export a theme using the name for the zip file. This is done so that it makes it easier to add the theme to your WordPress install. So this is also a good one because I know that in the past when I export themes, it usually has this random numbers at the end, and then you have to edit the name if you plan to import that or install that on the site. There's a concern that exporting the old theme might mean that the size would be bigger, but like I said, it would be great to have people test out these features and comment and let the builders know if this is something that would be very useful for them to add or not.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah, if you find something quirky, definitely file an issue on the GitHub repository or just ping me and I'll walk through it if there's something happening. It's also part of, even if it's not part of the call for testing for FSE, there is a Slack channel in WordPress Slack that is the FSE outreach-experiment. Yeah, experiment. And that's where site builders actually come together to discuss certain things. And now there will be some more traffic and some more conversation happening now that another call for testing is out. And it will also be additional information coming out because the call for questions that Anne had put out 4 weeks ago, I think, just closed this week. So she's working on getting answers to your questions. And she will post that also at the Full Site Editing Program Slack channel. And of course, also in the make blog of the site. So the block library, there are new APIs in this release for the block patterns. Is one that it automatically loads the file with headers from a theme pattern directory. So as a theme developer, you don't have to create a PHP file with all the patterns in there. Now you just copy and paste the pattern that you build and put it into an HTML file and just store it in the directory called patterns. And the editor will pick it up, so it will show up in the inserter. And also, if you use it in a template, it will also show up there with that. So that's certainly another way to simplify the whole theme production workflow. And it's similar to templates and template parts, the directory structure, where you pick up the templates and where the editor picks up the templates list and the list of template parts from the directory. And now you can do it with patterns. It's really easy to follow along. Yeah, and then there were we didn't have a whole lot of experiments lately in the Gutenberg plugin, but now there are a few. Again, well, two actually. One is a generic avatar block for authors. So if the author, like the comment or the editor that created a post, doesn't have an avatar on site or in Gravatar, you can actually control what the generic avatar is going to be. And then there's also a new version of the list block implemented as a nested block and transformed, and also has a few PRs in there that are all around the refactor of the list block. Because it's been said quite a bit that there is no inner block, so you couldn't have an image in a list block, or you couldn't have a quote in a list block. So this is going to change, and you can enable those by going through the experiment section and click on the list block there. Yeah, so it's implement the nested block behavior, transform the list for the list in vBlock, and then also start, change the start number, the order, and the reverse list block attributes also for a nested block list. Yeah, those are the things in the experiments. There were also some great changes in the documentation. You can read up about them in the release documentation. There was quite a few things for code quality and the tools, but I don't see anything that I would want to point out, except that they are adding now the infrastructure for writing end-to-end tests in a different library or a different format. It's called Playwright instead of, what's the other one? Puppeteer. Yeah. So, and Justin Anion had a make blog about that. So I'll share the note in the show notes. So that concludes the Gutenberg plugin 12.9 changelog for today. There was also another release, so 5.9.3 release candidate, and then Gutenberg 12.9. And Ryan Welcher released a new version of the Gutenberg examples repo, and it's now in version 1.1. And that examples repo has examples for a lot of different blocks with a lot of different settings and controls. And you can really learn from that how the various items work, so you can replicate it in your blocks. And it was quite a bit behind because the blocks haven't been migrated to the new API that uses the block JSON. And so it was not really teaching the best practices or the newer way to do this. But now that has changed. And this is definitely a major update. So this plugin includes completely updated block examples as well as new non-block examples. Comprises of 40 PRs by 8 contributors. And it's actually the first release since the start of the repo in 2018. So, and how to use it, the instructions are in the README file. So yeah, go ahead and learn and check it out. And of course, if you have any questions, yeah, send them our way. And we try to all answer that. This brings us to the section of what's in active development and discussed. And Dennis Snell one of the core contributors on Gutenberg development since the beginning. And he had a proposal on a concept of dynamic token in core of, and the GitHub discussion link will be in the show notes. But this goes back to the preliminary roadmap of Gutenberg phase 2 for 6.0 that Matthias Ventura published on the Make Core blog. And he wrote, as one of the things that are supposed to come, is explore the viability of inline tokens. This has come up repeatedly in the content of rendering dynamic strings, such as the current date in rich text blocks. And the Snell wrote then on that proposal, one area of the block model has been deficient, however, is in establishing more granular semantic types of inline content that carry meaning not associated with a block. These inline semantic parts represent content or metadata that comes from outside the document being edited and may be relatively static or highly dynamic. So he continues to outline the character of the token concept. He offers us code examples of possible how this is going to work with in different contexts with the block.json example, a save and edit example, and then the token execution, maybe in a PHP file. And dear listeners, if you feel that this all rings like short codes, you are not wrong. It definitely would be the shortcode 2.0, which are much better interface.
Okay, so still on active development and what's discussed, in our newest design share, Chad and Rita highlights a myriad of design updates the team is working on. And this could use your input and critique. Under the headline status and visibility panel improvements, she links to a prototype. You can browse the explorations to improve the publish and post meta in panel in a post editor. Bridget, you noted here that you enjoyed the various views of how the panels could look.
Yeah.
It's much cleaner and clearer too.
So you can
browse the prototype on Figma. We're going to put a link to that in the show notes. There are other highlights that are also interesting, such as adding the post category templates, the page start options, style variation over animation, icons for groups, rule and stack, new blocks, comment query loops, default design mockups. All of this are work in progress, yes, and soon to come to the Gutenberg plugin near you.
Yeah, I'm really looking forward to the stack new block because it should give you control on how your group block behaves with different screen sizes. All right, so thank you, everyone. I think that's just the end of our show. No, I know so. Yeah, before we end the show, I want to remind everybody, April 5th is the walkthrough on the features where the three, Channing Ritter, Hector Prieto, Matthias Ventura, kind of walk through all the features and figure out, okay, is this good enough? Or is it, yeah, what's coming in and how do we find still bugs? So there will also be a note taker, April 5th, 11 a.m. Eastern and 1500 UTC. As always, the show notes will be published on the gutenbergtimes.com/podcast. And this is episode 64. And if you have questions or suggestions or news you want us to include, send them to changelog@gutenbergtimes.com. That's changelog@gutenbergtimes.com. Well, it's so great to see you again, Mary, and thank you for having this conversation with me. Well, until the next time, dear listeners, thank you for staying with us through the show.
Yes, thank you, everyone. And thank you for bearing with my audio.
WPAfrica.org if you are on the continent and want to meet more WordPresses, check out the site. That's it. Thank you for listening. Goodbye.